I knew then what I know now, I think I would tell myself, remind myself that this truly is just a season, that you really will not always feel this way. You will not always have the same level of fear leaving the house. Honestly, you will be even stronger than you thought possible, and that you can make it through so much more than you ever thought you could.
Welcome to The Courage Effect. I'm Suzanne Weller, and this is a show about growth and unleashing what's possible. You'll hear inspiring stories about what courage looks like, how we navigate what's getting in our way, and the opportunities that surface when we choose courage over comfort. Let's get started. Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Courage Effect. So in my work and in my life, one of my core values is growth. And that's one of the things that I do. I mean, even my company, Weller Collaboration, where I do coaching and consulting, our tagline is realize growth. So it is a very important thing to me in my life and in my work. And as we all know, growth is not a one-time event. It's something that happens throughout our lives, whether or not we are prepared for it. And it is not always easy. And in fact, it can be really damn hard. It takes a lot of guts. It takes patience, compassion, and of course, courage. And my guest today is somebody who is going to share some of her personal story around growth. My guest today is Rebecca Weaver. Rebecca is the founder and CEO of HR Uprise, an employee advocacy organization that supports companies with flexible, independent HR for the new world of work. Rebecca has spent two decades, or more than two decades, in pivotal leadership roles from Fortune 50 companies to innovative startups. Inspired by the stories of the Me Too movement, Rebecca launched HR Uprise as a lone Instagram post, challenging HR professionals to create safer workplaces for employees. Today, she's dedicated to making HR simple for businesses and startups. Rebecca speaks about HR disruption as a sought-after public speaker and author of an upcoming book called Rise: How We've Changed and How That's Changing Work, which is about post-traumatic growth. Rebecca, it's such a pleasure to have you here. Welcome to The Courage Effect.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I love thinking back to when I originally met you in 2018, when right after you did that Instagram post and when you were really getting HR Uprise off the ground. And it takes a lot of guts to do that. And I know that you've really been a disruptor in a lot of ways. And when we were preparing for this call, I'm really fascinated by this concept of post-traumatic growth. So why don't we start out with that? Why this topic and why now?
Great question. So post-traumatic growth is a concept I learned about in the middle of the pandemic. It was in the middle of my experience, and we can talk about the details of that. But it was at a time that I, quite frankly, really needed to hear it. And it was kind of one of those like light bulb moments that really, really changed how I saw everything. So what was happening for me at the time, I was diagnosed with breast cancer at the very beginning of the pandemic, January 6th, in fact. As you know, it hit us very early here in the Seattle area. My husband happens to be an emergency physician who works at the hospital where the first COVID patient was treated here in the US. Wow. And it was maybe one, I think I had had one chemotherapy treatment at that moment in time. And we decided he had to move out. He was treating COVID patients every day. It was a time when, if you remember, it was a terrifying time. We knew very, very little about this virus. It was killing people at a terrifying rate, including healthcare workers. And I was going through chemotherapy, so I was about as vulnerable medically, physically as you could be. So we decided to have to move out. And of course, that was also a time when our kids were all home from school. So my daughters were 6 and 3 at the time. And so they were home from school. And so I went through 5 months of chemo, home by myself with the girls. My husband, when the weather was nice, he would come and sit outside on our deck, and we would stay inside and we would talk to him through the screen door. When the weather was bad, we would do the same thing with the garage, but that's how we saw him for about 5 months. And it's interesting because never once did either of us consider that he would stop working. You know, he just kept going. And so, of course, like, it wasn't an option for me to stop therapy, the treatment plan either. And I remember in the very beginning, I was so hopeful that this wouldn't have to be, we had no idea, right? Oh, well, let's see, a couple weeks, you know, see how this goes. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we all know now very well how long that lasted. So it was in the midst of all of that, a very terrifying time. I have never felt that vulnerable physically in my life. I've always been a very healthy person. The cancer diagnosis came out of nowhere. I have no family history. I do not have the gene. I don't, like, none of that. I don't have any of that. And I was diagnosed at the age of 40, actually just before my 41st birthday. And so this virus was out there that was killing millions, eventually. And I came across this concept. It was a video that I watched. A friend had done a speech on, and she talked about post-traumatic growth. And again, it was just such a beacon for me at the time, the idea that we could grow after a traumatic experience, that growth was a possibility. And that, quite frankly, I wouldn't have to, I wouldn't be stuck in this terrifying place for the rest of my life. So that's really where it came from.
Wow, what a time. I mean, just a whole bundle of hardship and fear and pain. So thank you for sharing that. I can only imagine how hard that was for the four of you.
It really was. And it's, you know, it still affects us in a lot of ways. Girls were young enough that, you know, it continues to have some effects. You know, I just found a photo. I had taken a screenshot of my husband reading stories, bedtime stories over Zoom, because that was what we had at the time. And again, we were grateful to have that, to be able to have some tools to make it through. But yeah, it was a really, really challenging time. And I got to the point where I really was just focusing on 24 hours at a time was the most I could do. I ended up writing out in my journal. I had a box for every day through the end of chemotherapy. And sometimes all that I could do was just cross the box. Like, that was the highlight of my day, was crossing off one more box. I've made it through one more period, one more 24-hour period. And that was all I could think about. But we did. We eventually made it through. And then, of course, for me, that was not over. My reward for making it through all of that was then a double mastectomy and 7 weeks of radiation every day. But yes, I mean, eventually we made it through. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of other cancer survivors. I have friends who are going through treatment right now. And, you know, what I realized is that it really is so much about the stories that we tell. I went looking for stories. I wanted to hear other people's stories of survival and how they had made it through. And I wanted to hear stories of other women who are 20 years out after their diagnosis. And so that's ultimately what led to me deciding to write this book, was to share my own story, hopefully to be able to give other folks a view that it is possible to move past that you will not be there forever. Because it's easy, especially in the midst of crisis, to lose sight of the fact that this won't be forever. It feels like it will be. And that can be, I think, potentially the hardest part is to lose hope in the middle of it.
Definitely. Well, and it's, I love that you talk about it being also a bit of a beacon, right? The idea of like being the inspiration and then you wanting to carry that beacon forward for other people by sharing your story and giving people more insight into this concept. I'd also imagine that it's something that you need to be ready to accept and bring in, because when you're in that, I mean, neither of us are, but let me also be clear, neither Rebecca or myself are therapists. So when we talk about therapy, we're not diagnosing, we're not treating clients. We're just talking about it as coaches and as human beings.
Absolutely.
But I also would imagine that you kind of need to be ready to introduce the idea of growing when you're also going through an incredibly hard and difficult time.
Yeah, I think it's really important to note that trying to push too much growth in the midst of crisis is not healthy either. It leads to this feeling of I have to be the perfect patient, right, or the good soldier, and that's too much pressure sometimes. Sometimes, I mean, really, in the midst of all of it, I wasn't really thinking. I just knew that this was something that was possible someday, but in the midst of it, I was just literally getting through those 24 hours at a time. And I think that's really important, too. I think it's related to, for me, to the idea of toxic positivity, which I don't have any room for. I don't have any, desire for that. You know, this idea of, oh, well, if you just think positively, or, oh, well, you know, everything happens for a reason. So, you know, eventually you'll see that. And it's not that I don't think things happen for a reason. I have certainly, I've certainly learned and grown a ton after all of this, but I also don't think that that was the reason that I was diagnosed with cancer. I don't think that's the reason I got cancer, if that makes sense. Because then that would suggest also somehow that I had a part in the cancer diagnosis. And I just know it took a while for me to get to that, to be perfectly honest. It took a while. My first reaction, literally, you know, so walking into the doctor's office, it was actually a nurse who gave me the news. At that point, it had been a month of, I found the lump myself, by the way, sort of by accident. I did not do self-exams or anything like that. I was not very good at that. I wasn't even scheduled for my first mammogram for another 5 years. And I found the lump myself sort of by accident. And so after a series of mammograms and then ultrasounds and biopsies and all of that, I went in for the results of the biopsy. And that was ultimately when I got the diagnosis. And I remember sitting in the nurse's office when she said, I'm sorry to tell you that this is cancer. I remember like my whole world kind of closing in, but my first reaction was, I'm so sorry to my family. I'm so sorry to my husband. I'm so sorry to my kids about what this is going to do for them.
Yeah. Well, and it's such a personal story. And I imagine so many emotions that you're going through it. And also, I mean, as you said, with your family and the idea of it's not your fault. I mean, and I say that with air quotes, but the idea of, you know, you don't control the cards that you're dealt. You control how you respond to it. And that's where the power is. And I hate to say that we do need to cut to a break. So I'd love to come back and maybe talk a little bit more about the concept of post-traumatic growth and how you're actually talk about it in your book, if that sounds good to you.
Yeah, wonderful.
Great. You're listening to The Courage Effect. We will be right back. Courage takes on many forms. I know from personal experience that one of the most courageous things we can do is to recognize when we need help and seek out support. If you're going through a hard time, feeling like something is interfering with your happiness or the ability to achieve your goals, therapy can give you tools to approach your life in a very different way. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, BetterHelp. BetterHelp's mission is to make therapy more affordable and accessible. It's an online platform where you can be matched with a professional therapist in as little as a few days. For more information and to get matched with a therapist, go to BetterHelp, that's HELP.com/courage. Visiting this link both supports this show and gets you 10% off your first month of BetterHelp. So if you're struggling, consider online therapy with BetterHelp.
Easy on the ears, good for the soul. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to The Courage Effect. This is Suzanne, and my guest today is Rebecca Weaver. So Rebecca, we're having a conversation about post-traumatic growth. Can you maybe just give a little bit more of a description of what it is and talk about, I mean, we know why it resonated with you, but then the decision to parlay it into the book.
Yeah, so it's a concept within psychology that describes, phenomenon is the right word, but there's a certain subset of people who, after going through a traumatic experience, are able to not just grow, but even thrive after that experience. And there are five different kind of pillars that psychologists will look at to determine whether someone is experiencing post-traumatic growth. And so those are new possibilities. So envisioning new possibilities for yourself, for others, your family, career. The second one is relationships with others and frequently a deepening relationship with others. For me, this has also meant sometimes acknowledging that not all relationships have a place to continue, right? So a deeper understanding about relationships and the value of those. The third one is spiritual change. Again, for some people, this is a deepening of their own faith. For others, it's a complete change entirely, but really looking at spiritually and having an deepened view of spirituality. The fourth is personal growth. So this idea that, well, I have made it through that, so I now feel very confident that I can handle whatever comes my way. And for me, the word that keeps coming back is a trust. I trust myself in a completely different way than I ever did before. And the fifth is appreciation of life. So for me, this is what I call my aggressive daily reminder that, of course, tomorrow is not promised. Really, at the end of the day, absolutely none of us knows exactly how much time we have left, how many days we have. And so what I want is for that to be a driving force. And I say to myself, okay, so now what? You don't know how much time you have. So now what? How are you going to spend the time that you do have? So those are the five pillars of post-traumatic growth.
Thank you for that. What did you call it? Your aggressive daily reminder?
My aggressive daily reminder. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it is. I mean, again, it's I think it comes back to the choice you were talking about, which is I could choose to have that be terrifying and say, I don't know how much time I have left. And, sort of use that as an excuse to kind of pull inward. For me, I want it to be positive. I want it to be a positive influence in my life and allow me and force me really to make decisions that are meaningful. So, if we have an opportunity to travel with our family together when I'm doing a speaking engagement, which is what happened a few months ago, and our kids have to miss a couple of days of school and I get a slight nasty gram from the school about them missing school, I could not care less because we are now having this amazing opportunity as a family, right, to go, go experience this thing together. And so that's really how it shows up for me. Is just making decisions about really, truly what matters.
So good. And it's the whole idea of just really living intentionally. That's what I'm hearing.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the idea. I mean, again, it's not all sunshine and roses and puppies and unicorns either. It's not a guarantee by any means. There are definitely a lot of days, as a business owner and running things, it can feel like a grind. But I want to do this work because it's so heart-centered for me. And that is something that I just feel like I couldn't do anything else at this point because it's so important to me and because I feel like it's an opportunity for me to really use the skills and experience that I have to really better the workplace for people. And so that's, again, what keeps me going.
Yeah. Well, and I have so much respect for that. I mean, as I said, that's how I originally met you, you know, with seeing what you were doing with really making the workplace more human. And who knew then where we are now.
Right.
In the past 4 years, we have experienced that collective trauma, right? I mean, our worlds have changed so significantly. And I love how with HR Uprise, you know, you have your YouTube channel where you're giving people all these recommendations as leaders or just as people, you know, these are the things that you need to do to lead well and to manage people. I wish I had that when I was managing teams.
Yes,
back in my 20s, that would have been a hell of a resource.
Right?
Yes. And I'm imagining that your book is also a part of this. So how do you also look at that sort of collective trauma of the past couple of years and how do we all grow from that?
Yeah, that's really what the book is all about. You know, it's this idea that we have experienced this collective trauma. I don't know that we have done enough to really really mark that, you know, to acknowledge it and figure out. So with post-traumatic growth, as I was doing the research for the book, I spoke to a psychologist and she explained the difference between resiliency and post-traumatic growth, which I thought was so, so helpful in kind of thinking about how is this different than just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and off we go, right? Which is kind of our traditional American way of thinking about things. So the difference between the two is resilience is how quickly can I bounce back to where I was before, right? To my baseline, whatever that was, how quickly can I get back there? And post-traumatic growth is I cannot bounce back because what I had doesn't exist anymore. I can't go back because it's not there. And the way that I think about it is it's like walking through a door and the door slams shut behind you. Mm-hmm. And I can't go back to that. It doesn't exist. And my argument is really that the workplace does not, that we used to know, the way that we used to work does not exist anymore. And so how do we move forward? The book really dives into how do we move forward when none of us are the same?
So true. And I love that it's like, you know, the new normal, the new abnormal.
Yes.
Which is one of the things that I've really been saying since 2020. And I like that you're also differentiating between resilience because that's a buzzword, right? And I mean, also as so many people are experiencing burnout right now, it's just the idea of like, well, buck up, you know, like suck it up. And I'm imagining that return to office is exacerbating this.
I think it is in so many ways, especially when it's not intentional. And I fear that a lot of businesses are just sort of in this, yes, it's the resilience. Oh, well, let's just go back to where we were. We finally have the opportunity. And I understand the pull for that, right? We want to go back to where we were. We lost so much during the pandemic. And yet we need to acknowledge that where we were doesn't exist anymore. And the challenge of growing after this type of trauma, the post-traumatic growth, is how do we put the pieces back together in a new way? How do we build something entirely new? And there's huge opportunity in that. You know, we can craft a different way of working, a different type of working, a different way of connecting with each other. We have the opportunity to build something entirely new.
Yes, very much so. And I do think it's important for us to recognize that and to recognize how are we potentially getting in our own ways with that need to return to normalcy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's, again, it's that rush, you know, for trying to rush it too quickly. We put the pressure on ourselves in all the wrong ways.
Yes, undoubtedly. So a couple more questions I would love to just ask you as almost a bonus. If you knew then what you knew now, what would you tell yourself?
Oh my goodness. I've thought about this a couple of times. I actually think it was probably a good thing I didn't know what was coming. I think I might have fallen victim to I'm sorry, what? You will be experiencing what? So I think it's actually a good thing that I didn't know. I didn't know how long it would be. I didn't know that the pandemic was coming. But it's a great question. If I knew then what I know now, I think I would tell myself, remind myself that this truly is just a season. That you really will not always feel this way. You will not always have the same level of fear leaving the house. You will be even stronger than you thought possible. And that you can make it through so much more than you ever thought you could.
It's beautiful. I also particularly love that you use the seasonality. I'm really into that right now, like the idea of seasonality in life and just, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's okay. Accept it. Like, it's going to be here, but it won't stay.
It's a season. Yeah. I think it's so easy to lose sight of that when you're in the midst of a crisis. Because it does feel like it will always be this way. And I remember having this in the newborn stage with our kids. Like, oh my gosh, I can't get more than an hour of sleep at a time. And like, how am I even standing up right now? And so again, you know, telling myself at that point in time, this is a season, you will move past it. It's possible. And I think just knowing that would help to calm some of the fears.
What perspective would you share with people that are in the thick of challenging or potentially traumatic times? But I think what you just said pretty much is that.
Yeah, I think that's it. I do. It's and I, you know, I would not also, I'm very careful to, I resisted writing the book a little bit in the beginning because I know that like my experience is not what anybody else will experience. And so I would never have the audacity to tell someone else exactly how they should do things. What I can do is share what I did and what I worked through. And hopefully in a way people can take pieces of that, you know, and apply it to where they are. I kept a blog while I was going through all of this. And part of it was just logistically, I wanted to be able to share with a lot of people. And I'm very, very fortunate to have a lot of people in my life who wanted to follow along and understand, you know, follow what was happening. And I tried to be really honest with the blog too, about the good, the bad, and the ugly, and have it be a really honest account of all that I was going through at the time. And but a family member afterward had a health scare of their own, and she said, you know, I it's just waiting for the results. And sometimes, oh my gosh, that's just the most terrifying, right? When you're waiting for, is it going to be the worst news or, you know, or not? And she said, whatever comes, I know that I'll be okay, because I've watched Rebecca's progress. And because I've watched her go through this, I know that I would be okay. And that, I think, is the absolute most beautiful compliment and reason for doing this that I could ever imagine.
Yeah. Oh, that's so beautiful. Yeah, sharing your story. There's nothing else quite like it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a real gift. It's been a real gift.
Well, as we wrap, I want to share a few things that I heard you say. I mean, the one that really sticks with me is tomorrow is not promised. So how do we actually live intentionally and really make the most of the time that we have now, and putting the pieces back together in a new way? So any final thoughts, Rebecca, as we wrap up?
Yeah, I would love for your audience to think about, first and foremost, you know, taking the time to honor what we have all collectively experienced, really spending the time to kind of wrestle with that. And again, sometimes that requires professional assistance in the form of therapy. You know, there are lots of different ways to do that. And then in addition to that, it really is possible for us to move forward and even thrive after our most challenging experiences. And so I hope that the book and, you know, hearing other stories will really help provide at least one roadmap, maybe not the only one, but a roadmap for folks.
That's great. Can you also just give a quick synopsis of the work that you do at HR Reprise? Because I'm curious with how you are actually doing this at an organizational level too, how you're working with your clients.
So at HR Uprise, we offer fractional HR. And for people who aren't familiar with the model, essentially what happens is we tend to work with smaller businesses. So a lot of times they don't have their own in-house HR, but they have employees and so they have needs. And what we do is we pair them up with their own dedicated HR Uprise coach. We call them a coach, consultant, same idea, but we just prefer the term coach. But they get paired up with their own HR Uprise coach, and they can help with literally anything you can think of that's related to people and the practice of HR within an organization. And it's a great model for, again, especially those businesses. If you're getting to the point where you're thinking about hiring somebody in HR, you get with this model, you get a really, really high level of expertise. I mean, these coaches are amazing. Get a great level of expertise that you couldn't afford otherwise in many cases, because you're paying for a fraction of their time. We also find that they're able to provide amazing HR strategy. And you get, again, that level of expertise that you wouldn't normally have access to, but you're paying even less than if you were to hire somebody who's maybe newer in their career.
That's great. I'm imagining too, that also being external, you get to challenge them a little bit with mindsets, with return to office and maybe
Absolutely.
Some of the old ways of doing things that are holding them back.
Absolutely. I think having an independent HR, again, this is really where I could get up on my soapbox, but having independent HR and having them more separated from the organization is just, it's better for everyone. Employees tend to trust us more because they know that, you know, we're not necessarily working directly for the employer in the same way as someone on their team. And so, yeah, we have an opportunity to challenge and to really get our clients to think very differently about all these things, return to office, diversity, equity, inclusion in the workplace, the people practices that they have, all these things that we've considered to be good practice for a long time, like performance reviews and what are really good alternatives that are much more modern and taking into account the workplace that exists today. So yeah, it's a wonderful model and we love our clients.
So good. It's also so good that you're providing exposure to what other companies are doing. I mean, in a confidential environment, because you see what's working in other orgs, what they're experimenting with, which I think is so important right now.
Yeah, absolutely. We can pull the best of what we see, both within our client group, but also beyond. Our coaches are have an incredible pulse on what's happening out there in the marketplace. So Fantastic. We love it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for sharing your story and for the broader work that you do. And it sounds like the best way for people to get in touch with you is through hruprise.com. We'll have all the links in the show notes and your book. I know it's on pre-order. You want to give a plug for that right now?
It is. Yes. Yeah. So you can actually go directly to the hruprise.com website, hruprise.com/book. If you'd like to pre-order, we have some additional, you get a ticket actually to the launch party, and a few things. You get a signed copy of the book when it's out later this year. So that's where to find it right now. And yeah, would love to have folks join us.
That's great. Well, Rebecca, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for sharing the story and for, as I said, all of the broader work that you do. And keep going. Congrats on the book and be well. Happy spring, happy summer. And all of you, thank you for joining us. Stay courageous.